Part 2. Into Iraq. Chapter 7. Winning a Battle. March through April, 2003. History will record that America's strategy for fighting terrorism was a good strategy, that the plan for Operation Iraqi Freedom was a good plan, and that the execution of that plan by our young men and women in uniform was unequaled in its excellence by anything in the annals of war, General Franks asserted in his memoir, American Soldier. It now seems more likely that history's judgment will be that the U.S. invasion of Iraq in the spring of 2003 was based on perhaps the worst war plan in American history. It was a campaign plan for a few battles, not a plan to prevail and secure victory. Its incompleteness helped create the conditions for the difficult occupation that followed. The invasion is of interest now, mainly for its role in creating those problems. Cobra 2, the ground component of the classified U.S. war plan, began by flatly stating the intention of the nation in going to war. The purpose of this operation is to force the collapse of the Iraqi regime and deny it the use of WMD to threaten its neighbors and U.S. interests in regions. The plan that follows that statement of intent is designed to achieve that relatively narrow goal. The end state for this operation is regime change, Cobra 2 states a few paragraphs later. But the United States wasn't invading Iraq just to knock off a regime. If the intent of operations in Iraq in 2003 was merely regime destruction, which it was not, then the short, decisive warfighting operation of March and April 2003 might in itself have constituted success, Major General Jonathan Bailey noted shortly after retiring from the British Army in 2005. In all other respects, it might have been counterproductive. Fittingly, a war justified by false premises began on false information. Combat commenced on March 19, 2003 in Iraq. It was still the evening of March 18 in Washington, D.C., with a volley of cruise missiles and bunker-penetrating bombs against Dura Farms, a group of houses sometimes used by Saddam Hussein, located in a palm grove on the western bank of the Tigris in the southern outskirts of Baghdad. After the CIA received hot intelligence indicating that Saddam was there, Tenet rushed with the information to the White House, and the decision was made to accelerate the invasion plan. At the time, it was thought the airstrike might have killed or wounded Saddam, but in fact he seems to have been nowhere in the area. The activity in the tree line that had excited the CIA that day likely was just the security guards and farmhands from Dura Farms. Sahad Hassan, a guard at the main gate, said in an interview that everyone knew war was coming and that the U.S. bombing would target Saddam's palaces, so they had moved their families and most valuable possessions into the groves nearly a mile outside the walls of the compound. "We were damn sure the presidential palaces would be bombed," he said. Richard Perle later concluded that the U.S. government had been fooled. "There is reason to believe that we were sucked into an initial attack aimed at Saddam himself by double agents planted by the regime," he would tell the House Armed Services Committee in April 2005. "This was, I believe, a successful intelligence operation by Saddam Hussein, in which we were led to believe that he was in a certain location, and he wasn't there." What followed on the U.S. side was a very conventional campaign designed as an attack by one state's military on another's, Major Isaiah Wilson later concluded. It was a war focused operationally on the destruction of the Iraqi army, the state's warfighting capability, and destruction of the Hussein state apparatus, he wrote. In this sense, he added, it was effectively a continuation of the 1991 war.